الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Our students from Newcastle, are they all present? Can they just put up their hands? You can just sit. Okay. So, for your benefit, first of all, we say Ahlan wa Sahlan wa Marhaba. MashaAllah, you are most welcome here. And the purpose of our coming be fulfilled, and that is our Islah, to correct our lives, spiritually, religiously. Just like a person, if he's physically ill, he has to go to a doctor, he goes to hospital, he has to take treatment. So spiritually also we become ill. And for that also we have to take treatment. And for that we have to go to what we call a khanqah, which is really a spiritual hospital. And we have to be diagnosed. And all the talks that have been given, etc., is to diagnose ourselves. We must see, it's a blood test that have been taking place. It's an MRI that we have to see what our faults are. And everyone can see himself. And mashallah, this has been happening all along in the corridors of history, that with such talks, and a person listens with the intention of his reformation, of correcting himself, he picks up that I've got this fault in me, and the remedies have also been given. And then in exceptional cases, we can refer individually also for the correction of certain of our conditions. So this is really a spiritual hospital where we have come, and that is the main reason of coming here. That is to try and identify where our weaknesses lie. And really, our weaknesses are everywhere. And then to try and correct them. And then to go from the hospital in a state that our sicknesses have been removed, and we go. And a person who does that, then that person will benefit tremendously, and he'll realize the benefits also. At that juncture, all of us should think that we are those who are here since 40 days, 10 days before Ramzan, those who came from the beginning of Ramzan, that how much have I benefited? Like you taking medicine, but is your sugar level coming down, or is it still remaining the same, or is it going further higher up? Is my blood pressure coming down? You are on medication. Is my blood pressure coming down, or am I just where I am? So we have to check ourselves. Have I even identified my problem? For example, one major thing which we have great negligence in, that we are all living in this world. How many of us here are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, perhaps 70 and more also? But till today, have we identified or defined my purpose of coming in this world? Why has Allah put me here? For what am I here? Did we identify that? If you go for a job somewhere, or as students, we go and study at a Darul Uloom. When we go there, we know why we have got to study. That is why we are there. So why have we come in this dunya? What is our purpose? And when you have gone to study in a Darul Uloom, you know that is your prime object and your main attention. Your other necessities are also there. You have to eat also. You have to sleep. You need a place to sleep also. You need a toilet also. You need a laundry to have your clothes. All those things are there, but they're not your main objects. There you can still tolerate if something is not right. But if there are no studies taking place, if the teachers are not coming, the ustads are not coming to teach, if there are no darsi kitabs, textbooks, no teaching taking place, then even if the food is the best and the facilities are the best, but then your object is not being fulfilled. So like that, why are we here? Who of us have identified that? For what is my purpose? And like a student must always keep in mind that why is he in a Darul Uloom? He's there for studying. We are traveling, for example, from Johannesburg to Durban. And that is our object, and we have to get there on a certain time also, for whatever purpose, for why we are going. There's a Ijtima taking place, we are going to attend the Ijtima. On the way, we will have to stop for petrol, for perhaps we have to, for namaz times, for food to eat, perhaps we'll have to stop. Perhaps we have to go and see somebody, we have to deliver a parcel, somebody who is off the road. But we'll keep in mind that I have to be there at that time. We have to keep that in mind. So do we, that in what is our purpose of life? To please Allah Ta'ala. And to make it for Jannat. The pleasure of Allah, the manifestation of the pleasure of Allah will be Jannat. But if we made that our intention, it is like we got a GPS, but we haven't even still punched in our destination. That I have to want to go to this place. And we are just driving along. We haven't, no destination, we're just driving along the road, petrol gets finished, we're filling up petrol, we get a puncture, we fix up the puncture, but we haven't got a destination. Is that our case in this world? So like that, you know, on a much more small, that is a very serious matter, that each one of us, we must identify and define why I am here in this world. Why have I come here? And I haven't come of my own accord. We didn't choose to come. We didn't apply to come. And we're not going to leave on our own accord. As much as a person doesn't want to leave, he'll have to leave. And as much as a person wants to leave, till Allah has not decreed, he cannot leave. So when our coming is not in our hands, our going is not in our hands. That means our purpose also is not for us to define. But he who has sent us, and he who is going to call us, he has defined our purpose. And to understand that a bit, more little clarification, we keep a person to work work in the house. Together with that, there are many other jobs that we give him also. He's a worker, he's a gardener, perhaps now he has to wash the car also. We tell him that's also your duty. There are 2-3 cars once a week or whatever you have to wash the cars. Then we buy polish for the cars, soap for the cars, for everything what is required to wash the cars, shampoo, tire polish, whatever else is required for the car, for the upholstery, for everything. Now we give it to him, you must wash the car. He brings his own car and he washes with our things, his car in our time. We are going to pay him to wash our cars. And we are giving him all the material that is required to wash our cars. And in our time, and in our place. But he brings his own car and washes his own car. Is there anyone who will tolerate that? Nobody will tolerate that. But now Allah has put us here on his earth for his ibadat, for his work. And he is supplying everything to us. Things that we don't know also. One shukr we should make to Allah Ta'ala also is that, Ya Allah, you see to every necessity of mine. Those that I know you are seeing to, you have given me eyes, but we don't even think of that it's a necessity and I must make shukr to Allah for the eyes that he has given me. You have given me legs to walk with. We don't make shukr. Ask ourselves today, have we made shukr to Allah for all his ni'mats, whether individually sometimes when we have that, or sometimes just generally, that all the ni'mats which Allah Ta'ala has given us. On one occasion, a family member was ill, he was in hospital. I went and visited him. When I came to the door of his ward, his son, young man, grown up, a married man, came running towards me. And he said, Maulana, today, first time, my daddy ate with his own hands. All this time, we had to feed him. Hey, did we ever think we made sehri? It's Ramzan, we didn't have breakfast, we didn't have lunch. But we made sehri, we ate with our own hands. Did we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala? If we couldn't eat ourselves, even if your wife feeds you, or your children feed you, and they love you, and they do everything, but they can't feed you how you would want to eat. A little bit of this, little bit of that, put it in your mouth, chew it, now you're getting ready for the next one. Everything is so synchronized, we don't realize it. And this is not just happening, it is all the work of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. But we don't make no shukr for it. We don't thank Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Anyway, then I came up to his bed, where he was lying in bed. His legs were stretched out. He lifted up his right leg little bit, not much. And then he told me, Maulana, first time I can lift up my leg. Up to now, I couldn't lift my leg. We all came for Asr Namaz. We went and made wudu. We went to toilet all on our own. And walking carefree, made wudu, came for Namaz, lifting our legs and no difficulty, no pain anyway in a joint, in the knee, at the bottom of the leg, no ulcer, no arthritis, no other joint pain, but no shukr. So one shukr we should make, Ya Allah, you see to all my, how many needs which I know you see to, and how many needs which I ask you of, you fulfill my needs, and how many needs which I don't know, and which I never can ever think of asking you, but you are fulfilling them. You can't finish this equation, and you can't finish this exploration, but just one idea. Like, for example, all of us, we are sitting here, it's winter now, most of us got some jacket or something on, our clothes, any one thing you can think about. For example, that jacket you are wearing, the jersey you are wearing, it might have come from China. It might have come from whichever country. Now the jacket is made up with whatever material, synthetic material, wool. That wool they bought perhaps from Australia. So how long ago that sheep that were grown there, how many people tended to that sheep? Fed them, looked after them, counted every day the sheep are right. The farmer sheep, are they right? They're supposed to be 58. Are they 58 or what? All these things. And counting these animals also is a job. At one Qurbani time, we went to one farm. And that person got delivery of his Qurbani animals. And as they are coming off the truck, he's counting them. 1, 2, 3. It was around 250 animals. About 5 times he had to count. Because 2 or 3 ran together. And he got all mixed up. Put all back again. And start counting. All this went in for that wool of that sheep. Before that jacket we are wearing. Or whatever material it is being made. All that counting. And that person to count till 258 to go to school. The school had to be built. All the bricks had to be made somewhere. And the floor had to be made. The painting had to be done. The paints were made somewhere. And the paint is made with Allah. But there is no end to it. And Allah Himself, for you specifically, that jersey you are wearing now, Allah knew 20th of June, on 2016, my banda will feel cold. Allah. And he will need this jersey of his. He will need that underpant of his. He'll need that pair of socks of his. His shoes he will need. And Allah made, we cannot imagine. It's impossible for man to work out, to calculate. Nobody. All the computers of the world will fail. And Allah is doing it for every individual. At this moment we need it. And that jacket of yours, that jersey, now you are walking and it hooked onto a nail somewhere. And it got torn. Now for the repairs, Allah has made the arrangement. That machine that is going to repair it, the person who is going to do the repairs, the person yourself or whoever else is going to take you to the tailor or the person who is going to fix up your jersey, that motor car you are going to go in, that motor car that has got over 1 million parts in it, all those parts have to be right in there. And then only that motor car needs petrol, it needs oil. All that is that oil which is coming from Saudi Arabia, which is coming from Iraq, that is going to be that crude oil that comes out. And then it is all the processing of the oil. All those things, Allah saw to everyone. And every individual, personally, Allah is Himself is doing it. Can we ever think? So Allah has put all this for us here, and not only given you the tire polish and the shampoo and the soap and the water to wash the car, we cannot imagine what and what. So Allah has defined a purpose. And all Allah wants is one thing, you must please me. That's all what Allah wants, nothing else. And all the problems that we have in the world individually or collectively in the whole world, it is all because we have displeased Allah. We won't tolerate a worker to wash his car in our time, in our place, with our money, with our things. Allah is tolerating us for so long that my banda will make tawbah. He will come to his senses sometime. Somewhere he's going to hear something. Something is going to click. It's going to be the change of his life. And so Allah is giving us chance. All Allah didn't write us off. Allah Ta'ala didn't He didn't forsake us. He didn't fire us. He gave us time. He said, my banda will realize. He will realize. And fortunate are those of us that we get this realization that we have to please Allah. And when if you displease your father, you displease your husband, you displease your wife, the wife doesn't want to cook, she wants to go away to her mother's house, she wants to take the children, or she leave all 5-6 children with you and she's gone alone. And you are sitting with problems because you displeased her. Or because she displeased you, you chase her out of the house. You want to give her talaq or whatever else it might be. May Allah protect us also. All these things, you want to fire your worker. He's got 8 children. He has to feed them because you displeased him. We displeased Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is still seeing to us. But if Allah has to fire us, and Allah sometimes just gives us a taste of it, that you displeased me, you made me unhappy, now you taste of this here what it is. And in this dunya, the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That we will give them a little bit taste in this dunya. No, less than that, what is going to come in the akhirah, that perhaps they will reverse and they will come onto their road again. Since they are going on the no entry they have entered. Perhaps they will come out from there and they will go on the road that they have to be going to please Allah Ta'ala. So like that, we have to define everything. This is a whole talk separate on its own. Just by the way, I mentioned a little bit of it. And for the students who have come today, that we are so happy you have come. And for all of us who are here, that we have come here, whether we have come for 40 days, 30 days, whatever time we have come for what have we come? And then all along you have to see that are you making it or not? A student at school, whether there are 4 terms in the school, 3 terms in the school, or wherever, in a Darul Uloom, and ever, you're writing exams after each semester, after each term, to gauge where you are going. Are we gauging ourselves where we are going? Are we getting some benefit? Are we learning something? Are we making some change? Or is it just that we're just moving along? And we are not concerned of whether any change is coming. So on those lines we have spoken and we said everyone should check himself. So for the benefit of our new visitors today, just a little bit again, not much, very briefly, a little synopsis, a summary of what we have been discussing, of what we have to see, in which direction we are going, and whether we are bringing some change in ourselves. And this, alhamdulillah, we were fortunate. We had the Islahi Jalsa in the Darul Uloom in Newcastle about 2 months ago or so. So there we discussed the subjects again. So I'll just very briefly mention them. The first thing was about namaz and 4 aspects of namaz. Now each one of us, myself or first, see whether we have done something about it. Whether we have brought 5 times namaz in our lives or not. And as men, with jamaat. Unless really there is a valid excuse. And also, excuse is also not sufficient. The person from inside has a jazba. Allahu Akbar. Now I'll go into too much of other detail, but just one thing let me mention. One time in Dioban, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the famous Mufti of Pakistan, his father, Maulana Yasin Sahib, it was one morning Fajr time, and he was ill. It was his terminal illness towards the end of his life. And it rained cats and dogs, what we would say. It was pouring down. And Mufti Shafi Sahib, a new graduate still, so he knew the masala, and we all know the masalas which are in our favor. That there is concession, that sallu fi rihalikum. You can make your namaz at home because the rain is very heavy, there is permission. That you can make namaz at home. So he made amal on that concession. His father, in that condition of his, and he was so ill, he went to the masjid. And there was nobody else besides him and the imam or the muazzin, only 2 people. When he came back, he asked his young son, graduate, where were you? He said, I made at home. He said, if everyone makes amal on the concession, who will go to the masjid? The masjids will be laying empty. So, though there is concession, but we have to see to that also. So, though there may be concession for namaz also with jamaat, but we see those people, Allahu Akbar. Let me mention this incident also. It can help me and all of us by revising. Maulana Siddiq Ahmed Bandwi, Rahmatullah Ali. Great, great. We hear his name very much. So one occasion they were for Hajj. And Isha time, it was pouring again. What we will say, cats and dogs. It was pouring down. So when the azan came of the haram, his sheikh told him, he was also sure, 100%. Sheikh will say, we'll make today namaz at home, here in the room. Because the rain is so heavy, it's a very, very difficult to go. So he was 100% sure. But as soon as the azan sound came in his ear, he said, come, let's go. And they prepared, made their wuzu, everything. Then they took an extra jug of water that their legs will get dirty in the mud, etc. Because the rain was so heavy. And they took an umbrella and they took a lantern. And the shoes they had to take off. So between the two, they shared this with their four hands. All these things. And when they came to the road which they had to cross, that road had been turned into a river. With strong water flowing. Now he was sure his sheikh is going to say, now we can't go. Let us go home. But he told, no, let us hold hands. And we will hold one another and we will go. As they were crossing, that water was so strong. It came almost up to their knees. And it was the stones. It was throwing the stones like bullets were hitting them. When they came somewhere in the middle, he almost fell down. A young man. And his sheikh held him tightly. And now he thought, he said, let us go home. Still he said, no, hold firm, we will go. And they came right to the haram, washed their legs again, because he said, we mustn't dirty the haram. Just imagine how, were these men or were they farishta, angels? These are examples of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this I'm saying just as an inspiration for us. Those who will do it, mashallah. Allah gift of it. It comes specifically in the hadith that on a dark, stormy night, when the lights are out, lightning is flashing, and it's raining. And those people who go in the darkness of the night for Jamaat Namaz, give them glad news of full night when they will be crossing full sirat. On the day of Qiyamah, when everyone, nobody will be able to be helped with somebody else's light. Only your own light will help you at that time. Those people who got there, they will get the full light on that day. So this is how we have to try and be. And this is encouragement for us, who without any excuse, we miss our Jamaat Namaz. Not Jamaat Namaz, we miss Jamaat Namazes after Namazes. We make our Faras Namazes Qaza. We don't consider, forget, Jamaat is a very big thing, is a very far thing. Look at the lives of our elders, and we have to take inspiration, and we have to try and come somewhere at least. So this is that Namaz in our lives. We are here now in Aitikaf, so to say, we have come for our Islah here. We got no other job yet. How many of us ask us, still it is sad to say that we still see so many stuffs of masbuk, people who miss their first rakat. That shouldn't be the case of a person who has come for Islam. Unless really something, your wuzu broke last minute, you finished your wuzu, now suddenly again you have to go to that happens rarely. If that happens, something like that, it's a difference. But otherwise, we shouldn't be missing our namaz. We shouldn't be coming late. So, five times namaz has to be in our lives. And then, ask ourselves, I'm asking, we're getting replies, we're not getting replies. But how many of us have started our qaza namazes? That is the next thing. And we spoke of it in Newcastle also. Yeah, we have been speaking of it so many times. If we got some qaza namazes, or if every one of us such, mashallah, that we got no qaza namazes, then it's mubarak, mashallah. But if we have got, have we started? Have we thought of it? And then to correct our namazes, the outward postures, that also we were mentioning one posture every day. Today at this point, let me mention one posture, that when we raise our hands for takbir, then we should take and fasten our hands. Some of us, or sometimes, we take the hands, we drop them on the side, and then fasten them. That shouldn't be the case. You take your hands, and you have to fasten them, so directly you go, and you fasten them. And this happens more when, according to the Hanafis, we make our three rakats of witr namaz. In the third rakat, when we raise our hands to read Dua Qunut, many times we drop the hands on the side. And then we fasten the hands. Now there is no necessity to drop it on the sides. You raise your hands and you fasten them. And there are many Shafis here, mashallah. And we've got, inshallah, an expert on Shafi Masai. Maulana Umair is here, who is to mashallah to learn. And he went and learned by Maulana Kiran. Maulana's first name? Taha, Maulana Taha. Many, all of us know Maulana Taha. And he studied by Maulana Taha. Mashallah, he's got a proper knowledge on Shafi Fiqh. So, learn from Maulana. And ladies who want to know, they should ask a lady. The talk is being streamed in every town. There are, mashallah, good ladies. Ask somebody to teach us practical namaz. Don't only learn namaz from kitabs. We have to learn namaz practically, at least once in our lifetime. From somebody, learn namaz practically how to make it. And once is not enough. We need to do it many times so that at least our namaz can be corrected. Then the fourth thing of namaz which we have been discussing is to have concentration in namaz. And from there we have to move on to, if Allah wishes and takes us to that point, of devotion, that we are totally absorbed and devoted in namaz. That is what we have to. Then tawbah we have to make. Tawbah we discussed also there in Newcastle. Yeah, also we discussed it many places. May Allah give me, after discussing it so much, if I'm still unmindful. And it happens. A person talks about something, but he himself is not doing it. We have to, may Allah give us tawfiq. And yeah, it's not a matter of somebody lecturing other people. It's a muzakra. It's a reminder for all of us. Allah grant us all sincerity and we all try and bring it in us. Tawbah istighfar is not only for Laylatul Bara'a, Nisf Shaban. Tawbah and istighfar is an ongoing thing. Not only once a day, but an ongoing thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I make istighfar to Allah ta'ala more than 70 times a day. I make istighfar 100 times a day. So this is Allah's Rasul who is ma'asum, who has got it's bay'adabi, it's disrespect to think of a sin with regard to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he's making istighfar. And we wholesale, open sins we are committing, but no tawbah, no istighfar. Ask us today that I make tawbah istighfar. I think I didn't commit sin. But how many? Our ibadat are full of sins. Our ibadat is such that full of sins. So our talking, how much of lies? And if we are not careful, then we are hearing ghibat about people. So much, you're not speaking, but a person who listens to backbiting and didn't get up and go away, you just listen, he's an accomplice. And an accomplice gets the same punishment as the actual perpetrator. Both of them get the same punishment. Did we ever even just make some isale sawab for all the ghibat we heard about people? People come and tell us all various things which have nothing to do with us. Not the, if to solve a problem or something, that's different. There are a lot of details about that. But just like this, we are talking about people, passing remarks about somebody, this one about that person. It all comes under ghibat. If you hear something about it happened and you did not verify it and you go and tell somebody else, it, according to hadith, that is sufficient to have you written by Allah as a liar. And the punishment for lying is so severe. A person's cheeks will be cut, this side will be cut, then this side and this side will get better again. Then again, Allah save us all. How many sins we are involved in. So anyway, tawbah, istighfar, and then we come pure into the month of Ramadan. And for the month of Ramadan, we discussed a few aspects. What a great kitab the Quran Sharif is today. And that, who can do justice to the Quran? It's impossible. And just some idea that what a great kitab. Otherwise, today we haven't got the value for the Quran Sharif. We haven't got the azmat, the greatness of Allah. And His kalam, the Quran Sharif. Anything else, we buy a SIM card. How much we look after that SIM card? I don't think we look after our Quran Sharif to that extent. Today, how we are worried of our cell phones. That it mustn't get lost. I must have my cell phone all the time. Perhaps we haven't got that regard for our Quran Sharif. That our Quran Sharif is the most important thing. Children, when they will be going anywhere for a holiday, anything, the first thing they will worry, the games must be included. It must be packed in the bag. The toys must be packed. The ball must be going along. For a Muslim, whenever he thinks, Quran Sharif must be there. How many of us think of Quran Sharif? If you are that very good hafiz, but even a very good hafiz does have to refer sometimes and has to check up something sometimes. So our Quran Sharif, do we give that importance to it? And this is the word of Allah Ta'ala. And what the great virtues and the importance of Quran Sharif. Then Allah Ta'ala gave us the Quran Sharif and all the heavenly scriptures, all the books that came from Allah Ta'ala, GPSs, guidance books for us, how to live our life, how to find our road right till Jannah, right to the pleasure of Allah in this world. And then, yeah, already our Jannah will be made. Maana ke meer ke gulshan e Jannah to door hai. Our Shaykh Dawud Rahmatullah Ali's one poem, that sir, I accept and believe that the gardens of Jannah are still very far. Maana ke meer ke gulshan e Jannah to door hai. That we have to live our whole life. How many? Allah alone knows. There are people 5,000 years in their qabr. They are waiting for Qiyamah. There are people 10,000 years in their qabr. They are waiting for Qiyamah. We are also going to go in the qabr. Yeah, we are only a mere 60, 70 years. Less than 100. Hardly a person lives over 100. Very, very few. And in the qabr, thousands and thousands of years. If we had done good, that time is going to pass comfortably. And if we had done bad, we did not please Allah Ta'ala, then how is our time in the qabr going to pass? Thousands of years, not 100 years, not 50. And this 100 years, if we have to live, there are doctors to help us, there are hospitals to help us, family members to help us. Few people are just discarded like that. But generally, Allah makes the system, they say, somebody who looks after them. In the qabr, it's only you and your amal, your actions. Your good actions or your bad actions. That is all that is going to be with a person. And for hundreds of, for thousands of years, only Allah knows. And then this first sound of the trumpet will be sounded, where the world will come to an end. And a period will pass before again the second trumpet and Qiyamah will start again. And Qiyamah kana miqdaruhu khamsina alfa sana. 50,000. Allah have mercy upon. It's not a joke. For this Allah has created us. Understand, define our purpose of coming in this world. And to please Allah. If we have pleased Allah, this whole journey goes smooth. Wherever you are, it's going to go smooth. So first of all, let us define why we have come in the world. Then define why we have come here for Ramadan. It isn't just to pass our time. It's not to make a picnic and merry making and just to have food and to have discussions and we'll talk and we'll just pass our time. There is a big purpose behind it all. And Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you people knew what I knew, you should have laughed little, by which he meant you shouldn't have laughed at all. And you should have cried a lot. But what a position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowing all that, but in order to welcome, always with a smile on his face. Kana daimul huzn. He had that worry all the time. But he didn't show that I'm a big Sufi and I'm very worried. I can't smile with anyone or anything. No, but he had a smile. Whoever he met with a broad smile always. But inside, that was burning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had no worry whatsoever. You worry of the ummah, the whole ummah. Today we're not worried of our own selves. We're not worried of our families. We're not worried of anything. We have to be worrying of our worldly life. Allah, may He protect us in this world. If Allah just text us with little bit to wake us up, we can't take that. If Allah sends something to us that just to tap us to wake us up, we can't take that. Then what will be in the qabr? What will be in the akhirat? May Allah have mercy to have this worry for everyone. How many brothers who came out in Jamaat, many, many such cases, where from America, Europe, etc., they accepted Islam and they say, one place, one brother was giving his car guzari. And he said that now after the talk, we make some tashkil, some customary tashkil, who's ready, we wrote some names and that. Everyone is going home to sleep. He said, you people are gone to sleep comfortably, that you know you are Muslims, your parents are Muslims, and inshallah Allah will give us maut on Islam and we will also have the pleasure of Allah. But I know my father died on kufr. How must I sleep? How am I going to sleep tonight? What is my father going through in the qabr all the time? That he died on kufr. So who are we not worried of our own selves? We're not worried of our families. We're not worried of the Muslims. Forget the non-Muslims. That is our duty to worry of everyone, of the jinn, of man, of everyone. So anyway, so all this, the Quran Sharif, Allah gave us that kitab. Then the value of Ramadan. All these kitabs Allah Ta'ala has sent in this blessed and honorable month of Ramadan. Ramadan is such a valuable month that one example that I gave, I'll repeat it again so that our other brothers can also listen, and hopefully it can help and make us, spur us on to do something. That if the government of a country has to give all the Muslim citizens a money printing machine, it prints money. And you can set it for our sake, 10 rand, 20, 50, 100, 200 rand note. Everyone will put it on 200, but it will only start working when the moon, it is established that the moon has been sighted for Ramadan. And it's not an automatic or electric machine, it's a hand machine. You have to turn the handle all the time to print the notes. Then we can understand, the people won't sleep for 30 days. 30 days. They won't, the eye won't wink also, blink. They will just be printing all day and night. And really, without any exaggeration, there have been those buzurgs who have understand that Ramadan is a much more greater month, printing sawabs for the akhirah. And not a 200 rand note, not a $100,000 note, not a $5,000 note, if there is a note like that. Not anything, but the eternal and permanent rewards of akhirah that help us in this dunya also, wherever we are, that helps us in the akhirah also. So they didn't sleep a minute also in the whole month of Ramadan. We might think, how is it possible? When that urge comes in the mind, and your mind you have set, when urge comes in the heart, and you have set your mind, man does things which are impossible. How Constantinople was conquered, which is Istanbul today. Man's mind cannot work today. But Muhammad, Fatih al-Muhammad, when Allah used him, how his mind worked. And not only that, look at the Sahaba's feet. If you realize, Hazrat Khalid takes only, first he says 30 people to fight an army of 60,000. That means one person for 2,000 people to go and fight. And this one Sahabi, ill-equipped as far, not trained in military warfare. Those people, whole life they are training. And they've got arms and ammunition. Then his friends urge him to take another 30. So he goes with 60. For 60,000, one person against 1,000, can it make sense? Can you work it out? It doesn't work out. But they send that army running on the hills, killing most of them, and in one day's time, from morning till night. And those people, when they came, they thought these people have come to talk peace. For 60,000 people, 60 people are coming, they can't be coming to fight, it's out of the question. They are coming to talk peace. When he said, you have come to talk peace, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Amir, pulled out his sword. He said, I declare war. And in that one day, what he did. So all this is this Quran Sharif which Allah has given. This month of Ramadan, that's the verbs that I'm talking about. We have to build that connection with Allah. When Baytul Muqaddis was being conquered, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum has stationed, the whole story is long. All the students have read it in the kitabs also. Anyway, they were waiting for Amirul Mu'mineen to come. That was the condition they had made. So where they were camping and where the place of namaz, the musalla was, there was a little distance between the two. So they used to walk five times a day to go and make their namaz. The war hadn't started as yet. So what those people, to test them, they put their most beautiful girls, line them up on that path, both sides. And with the most beautiful clothes, and with the most valuable jewelry that they could. And with this hidayati talk and guidance, anyone who touches you, wants to do anything to you, you don't stop him at all. You encourage him, you entice him as much as you can. For how many days? Five times a day they are walking up and down. When they ask them what happened, they said, are these human beings? Are they pieces of wood? That they didn't even look at us. Not even from the side of their eyes. The Amir, when they used to leave, he should read the ayat, قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يغضوا من أبصارهم, and that is what you call, a qari. Not a qari who puts his hands here, pulls his face in a funny way, and all the styles he makes, but who reads and that word hits you in your heart. Such a way that your eyes just cannot, your eyes cannot be lifted up after that. And when a qari reads like that in namaz, Allahu Akbar. One qari of that Sahib Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, making Taraweeh namaz. And towards the end when he came to the ayat in Amma Yawma Tubla Sarair, the day when secrets will be exposed. Now at this moment think, if our history has to come out here, every one of us, what we did all the time, our history, who of us will be able to sit here? None of us can sit here. On Qiyamah's Day, everyone's history is good. Illa man tab. However, those who make sincere tawbah, Allah Himself destroys all these files. And nothing is left. So this is tawbah. So what a thing Allah gave us tawbah. How can't we use tawbah? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gives this example that if the doctors have to invent, which perhaps they won't till Qiyamah's Day, a balm, an ointment, that if you burn third degree wounds, but you just apply it and immediately all the pain is gone, your skin is back to normal, in fact better than what it was before. If that was done, and the husband comes to the wife and said that the frying pan that is on the stove and the oil is sizzling hot, put your hand inside, I will just apply some balm and your hand will come right. What will she say? You experimented enough on me. Now you experiment on yourself for a change. You come and put your hand and I'll put the balm on your hand. That is an emergency balm. It doesn't mean if you got tawbah, it gives you license to commit sins, then I'll make tawbah. No, in case you, perchance you fell, you got involved and you fell into a guna, you got that emergency balm. And don't put it away in the medicine chest. This tawbah balm, keep it with you, you need it all the time. When you're walking on the street, your eyes fell by mistake, not intentionally. Don't let it ever fall intentionally on a woman. And then your mind started working all plans, apply that balm, make tawbah. And hate yourself for it. Make dua to Allah. At night when you are going to sleep and you start thinking of filthy and dirty things or worse, you take out your cell phone and you're looking at filth and dirt and you sleep in that way. And we are calling ourselves, we came for i'tikaf. We are saying we came for islah. And we are looking at all the filth and dirt in the masjid. Then apply that balm and make dua. Ya Allah, please. How terrible am I? What am I doing? Where am I doing this? Oh Allah, save me from all this. And a person hates this. A thought comes also. It can come in namaz also, but a person hates himself that how could I think of this filthy thing here? That something you did when you were 15-year-old, when you were 20-year-old, and all your filth and dirt, then you realize that. So this month of Ramadan, what a month it is. The value of this month, this also we had discussed to some extent. And then the Quran Sharif which Allah has given us, and all this, let us see how much is it coming in us. Have we thought of our namazes? Are we making tawbah? This is what we have to be doing. Correct ourselves. We are not here just to pass our time. If we are here just passing our time, we will find at the end we failed our time. That we came here and we went worse from here than what we were. Or we went the same as what we were. Or we will go with great josh. And one Eid day da'wah of the family and everything is gone down the drain. We have forgotten everything again. And we start not from scratch, we start from back again. And we have to try. And we don't get the courage to start from back again. So therefore, let us spend this time correctly and try and correct ourselves. So all of us who have come today, who are here previously, let us make the end for myself firstly. All of us are in need of it. Let us make this niyat and let us bring this some changes. Our namazes, our tawbah, the value of Quran Sharif is not only for Ramzan, it's for throughout the year. The value of rozas are not only for Ramadan, rozas let us try and keep out of the year also. So Allah has given us this wonderful month which has come with all these beautiful gifts. Or Allah has invited us to this wonderful dastarkhan, to this wonderful table laden with the best of fruit and the best of food of Jannah. Ramadan itself has come, and it has come with the Quran Sharif, it has come with du'as, and du'as work miracles. Du'a is that thing, it comes in the hadith. There is nothing that can change the taqdeer of a person, predestination, but du'a can change it. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, may Allah reward him, he said so beautifully that if we think that that nothing can change taqdeer, Allah also cannot change it, then taqdeer is above Allah. Taqdeer is governing Allah in that case. But nothing can govern Allah, na'uzu billah. Allah governs everything. And dua, Allah listens to your dua. And what has been written in your taqdeer, we don't know what can be written. A stroke for a person, paralysis for a person. We don't know what, divorce in a family for a person. We don't know what, but by dua you can overturn it. And by dua Allah will overturn it. So dua Allah has, and this is the month for dua. Just now will be time for dua. Use this time. Allahu Akbar. What a month Allah has given us. During the whole day you are fasting. All the creation of Allah is making dua for you. As soon as you opened your roza, now Allah asks you, what do you want? Now Allah is telling you that you ask me, hal min mustaghfirin, hal min mustarziqin, is there anyone who wants rozi, is there anyone who wants maghfirat, is there anyone who wants this? Every night of Ramadan, as soon as this iftari, we are more busy than with iftari at that time. Many of us forget our bismillah also. Many of us forget Allahumma laka sumtu wa bika amantu. Many of us forget all the du'as. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika al-azim an taghfirali. All this we forget. We are busy eating. But now Allah is announcing that, well, do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want that? So this is a time for du'as also. So this valuable month has come to us. And during the day while we are fasting, all the animals are making du'as for us. All the creation of Allah, you also make du'a. And from Maghrib time till Sehri, Allah is asking, what do you want? And I will give it to you. Ask Allah Ta'ala. So this very valuable time has come, and we must appreciate it. Bring it, inculcate it, bring it into us, and do it to such an extent that next year we can go somewhere, someplace, and there we can have a khanqa, and the people there can benefit. Somebody in some other place, somebody in some other place. And this is how Islam spread in the initial stages. That wherever the Islamic the conquerors went, the mujahideen, then the muallimeen went with them. And the muallimeen, muqri, wasn't only who taught deen, but he taught deen theoretically also, and practically also, and he brought deen into the people's lives. And today we regard all those countries as Muslim countries, whether it's Egypt, whether it's Syria, whether it's Jordan, whether it's Pakistan, whether it's Malaysia, whether it's Indonesia. These were all non-Muslim countries. But what an effort that 800, 1000 years, 1000 years, 1200 years, those countries are all still known as Muslim countries. And what was the power of Sunnah? And what was the power of Islam? And inshallah, this is going to come in the whole of Africa and the whole world also. But we take the initiative, and let Allah Ta'ala make us those guiding stars and that guiding lights, and let us guide the people. So for that we have come here. And that must be the purpose of our life. And let us see how much are we fulfilling that. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Let us engage ourselves in du'as now. And then we have our iftari, inshallah. Subhanallah.